Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verses together, 3 through 9. Amen? And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Hear My Cry. Jesus, Hear My Cry. Saints of God, the last 2 weeks, it's been somewhat a solemn 2 weeks. There's four and possible five that has gone on to be with Jesus. As you know, Brother G and Sister Stacy, they're up in Riverside. Sister Stacy's stepdad had an aneurysm, and they took him off life support, and there's no more signs, basically, and he's on his way to glory. Strong believer, too, in the Lord. Praise God. Then my Aunt Lorraine, she's only 62. And she woke up, and she fell on her bed, and she had a massive heart attack. And I'll be going to her celebration of life service this Friday. Then Brother Angel's best friend, who you worked with, he's only 61, went on to be with the Lord. A dear high school friend that we all learned to love, Albert Carrillo, went on to be with Jesus. And I'm thankful that I have two wonderful friends visiting us this morning. Oscar and Judy, they're right back there, Faminia. God bless you. But I had to ask God, why? We question sometimes, God, why? And why now? And so I'm hoping that this message will speak volumes to our life, that we could gravitate to the Word of God, because it is God that sustains our very breath. Can I get an amen?
That's right.
And so this is the times where we really need the Lord. We need to be close to Him. We need to hear His voice. We need to be in His Word. We need to be in fellowship with strong believers so that we can build each other up.
Yes.
This is what a world needs to see, is people that love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind, and that those maybe that are not there yet, that they could have a glimpse of the hope that lies within us. And so are we there at 2 Timothy chapter 1? Let's all read together 3 through 9, and then we can be seated. And let's read. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the gospel of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. One of the things that the Lord impressed upon me this week as I went into prayer and to prepare for this message, this one particular scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 is, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Amen? You and I are going to go through trying times. Many of us have been there, and we can say we've done that. But it seems that these times never cease. And we are to always turn to the Word of God for, number one, wisdom, for comfort, and for truth. Can I get amen? Amen. So right up here it says, because we live in a fallen world, storms are a part of life. And they come in three different forms. They come physical, emotional, and spiritual. And when these storms come, some of them come in a Cat 5 category. And they overwhelm us. And one of the things that the enemy wants to bring to you is fear. So saints, it's been like this ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Given that there is no escape from pain and trouble, only our alternative is to adjust to them sometimes. Huh? We have to deal with the issue. If we don't learn how to respond and endure, we'll be defeated by them and forfeit the blessings God has for you and I. But if we'll learn how to respond as the Lord desires, we'll come out of these storms victorious and stronger as a result of them. Right up here in James, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith," what? "Produces patience." This is a time to be patient. This is a time to minister to those right now that are grieving, that are mourning, to come alongside them and build them up, to let them know that there is a solution to everything that we have to endure in this lifetime. It says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing." Praise the Lord. As believers, we need to learn to gravitate to this word, because a lot of times when those storms do come, the first thing that sets in is fear and anxiety. And God is saying, "Oh, hey, be patient. Be patient. Let me minister to you. Let me show you the reasons why these things take place in our life." And we find it in the Word of God as great comfort. So, saints, Paul wrote to Timothy because he was facing a storm. And as a young pastor, he was dealing with various problems in the church at Ephesus and needed some encouragement and direction. How many of you, during the course of your life, need to take time out and receive directions and instructions? Can I get amen? Paul advised him. Here is the key verse that Paul had given to Timothy. "Kindle afresh the gift of God that was in him." What is that gift that God has given us? The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. Those are the gifts that God has given us at the moment of salvation. But we are to grow in that area. Those are areas that don't come overnight. These are things that we have to learn to do by the grace of God, by the power of God, and by God's mercy. In the face of adversity, Timothy was becoming discouraged, and his spiritual zeal was just waning. It was dissipating. Let me just say this. When you're walking in true heaviness, it's truly hard to open up the Word. Can I get amen? It's hard to even open up to anyone. But this is where God's supernatural power has to come upon you. So that you can rely on Him and His strength. Because if we're relying on our own strength, we're going to fail. We're going to crash and burn. And so, saints, the same thing happens to us when our Christian life starts to grow cold. Perhaps it begins with doubts about the truths of God's word. And when at one time we would have boldly defended them. I remember when I first got saved, man, it was like, what is this guy on now? It was like someone gave me an AK-47 and I was just, repent or perish. I had no wisdom. I had a whole lot of zeal. But God doesn't want the zeal to leave. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would utilize God's provision through His word. Can I get an amen? So when we withdraw, refusing to admit anything is wrong, but in our hearts and minds, we know we are drifting from the Lord. How many of you can honestly say during the course of your walk with Christ, you felt like there were times that you have drifted? Oh, come on, we all experience that, don't we? We all go through those emotional, spiritual planes in our life. Or maybe the coldness is simply the result of troubles and heartaches that cause us to grow weak and lose our passion for God. And that's what sometimes our emotions can do for us. But we are reminded by the Lord Jesus Christ that during the final days before His return, He said we would see this type of coldness. We would see the apathy. We would see that there would be no longer a zeal for God and people that love God's word that would press out and to be involved in the things of God. He says it right up here. Look at this in Matthew 24. And because lawlessness will abound. How many believe that in the times that we live in right now, it's very lawless? Come on. There's lawlessness everywhere. My goodness. And all the fake news. I don't even watch the stuff. It's all fake. Look at this. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. After a while, when you start seeing the culture and the climate of society, it seems to have an effect on us. If you're not in your word, if you're not in prayer, if you're not pressing, then the world is going to have a type of tainting upon our spirit if you're not guarding your heart. Can I get amen? Look what it says in verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the what? The end will come. Let me just say this. For those who have dearly departed from us presently, for those who have trusted in Christ the Lord, they're in His presence right now. Come on. How many would rather be in His presence than go through these horrendous storms in our life? How many would rather trade that in? Oh, here, okay, Lord, I mean, this one's, man, I'm telling you, I want to be in Your presence now. Saying some of the signs of a dwindling fire in our spiritual lives are a loss of joy and hope, not reading the Bible as much we did before, a lack of enthusiasm for prayer. In addition, we may begin listening to and relying on the advice of people who are not well versed in Scripture. And this is what we have to guard ourselves. Because Paul was very familiar with persecution, heartache, and trouble, he understood how Timothy felt. He offered him this sound advice right up here. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, meaning fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You know what? And in the Greek, That sound mind is discipline. What do you mean by discipline? Meaning setting yourself apart and being used by God. Can I get amen? You're being disciplined in the things of God that please Him, but it's not just to please Him, it's for our benefit. It's so that we don't get caught up with the world's mindset, but we would walk worthy of the call. So saints, we have this same assurance today. We feel overwhelmed by the storms of life. But if we give in to fear, we can expect the following results. Let's look at this now. If we're going to gravitate to fear, then the end results is not good. Let's look at this. Responding to life storms with fear. Number one, it stifles our capacity to think and act wisely. It does. It comes against the will of God. It comes against the mind of Christ. And humanism sinks in, and all these other things that somehow causes us to be idle in the things that God has given us. You see, saints, we'll begin to yield to other people's ideas about what we should do. But if we look to God's word, I'd rather obey God. Can I get amen? Listen, if you have advice for me, praise God. Thank you. But you know what? Even that advice I get from you, I got to sift it through the word.
That's right.
Because if it's of you, God, that was a great word for me. But if it's not, you just say thank you.
That's right.
But you look to God's law of liberty. Can I get amen? That's right. Because look it up here in Philippians. Do not be anxious. Look at that. Some of us, man, I need it right now. I got to have this right now. I need results now. See, that's the worldly principles, but the kingdom principles is godly and good. And what it does, it brings healing to our soul. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's right. I've been driving around that 2004 Toyota Prius since 2004. I'm still praying for my new car. Amen. One day it will come. Amen. But I'm not going out there, going to sell the whole house just to get a car. I'm going to wait patiently. It'll come. God will provide. And I don't need the church's help. I just rely on God. God's going to bring in the increase. Can I get amen? I can't rely on people. I got to rely on God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Number two, if we're going to allow fear and anxiety to set in, number two says it causes us to be indecisive.
Yes.
We can't make sound decisions. It's like, what do I do? What do I trust? Where do I go? Who do I believe? Well, fearing what might happen, we won't be able to make up our minds on a course of action. How many would rather make up your mind according to what God has said? Can I get amen? Look at these scriptures that I put up here. It's regarding, it causes us to be indecisive. Number one, all scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof, for what? Correction and training in righteousness. When we apply God's word in truth and righteousness, now we can make a sound decision. Can I get amen? It won't have to be birthed out of fear or anxiety. We can go to God's word and be comforted. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians right up here. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from where? God. It's got to be all about Him. And so, how many would rather be filled with God's grace, His mercy, and His love?
Amen.
Well, look what it says right up here in Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in what? Hope. That's our hope. Our hope comes from God. It doesn't come from man.
Thank
And even in the midst of your five category storm, hallelujah, God will put you in the eye of the storm where there's peace. In the midst of the storm, he'll be right there with you. Can I get an amen? Now, if we're looking at the circumstances that are taking place, as I shared in these past 2 weeks, I would be like, Lord, what's going on? I would be fearful. Man, is my number next, God? No. We are to walk in faith, and we are to trust and believe God. And even though those things have happened, we know that God has the best plan ever for our life. Can I get amen? His plans are better than mine. They're better than yours. Can I get amen? And so let's look at number three. It diminishes our capacity to be productive. I want to be productive in life. Or do you want to just be at home? Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. No. No, we are to take God's wisdom and his knowledge, and we are to exercise it through faith. Can I get an amen? And believe that his principles, his truths, are the best medicine that we could ever intake. Can I get an amen? I'd rather take two scriptures a day than those two things that are on the shelf. That's right. Believe God's word. You know why? Because God's word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. God's able to heal. He's able to raise up. He's able to build up our lives by faith. Can I get amen? But the world has its own mindset. And old Slewfoot, you know who I call Slewfoot, the enemy, all he wants to do is tranquilize you. That's right. He wants to cause you to be enabled to do it, not to do it. He wants to render you useless for the kingdom of God if he could keep you emotionally distraught. This is why we need to be in the word. This is why we need to get instruction from God. Can I get amen? So it diminishes our capacity to be productive. But look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He wrote, "Note that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything that's coming from us. But our sufficiency, once again, is from where? God. It has to come from God." And even King Solomon, who wrote here in Proverbs, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise." Wow. Listen, in the midst of your storm, when you're ministering to people, even in their storm, guess what? The Bible says you have captured their souls to gravitate to God. You got to let them know all about Jesus. You got to let them know that God is a God of all comfort. He's a God of all grace and mercy. He's the one that can restore. He's the one that can heal. He's the one that can bring comfort in the midst of that storm. Apply God's word. I'd rather use God's word. Amen. Praise God. Now, when these storms come, this is what else it does. When the fear and anxiety want to come in and breach, it wants to cause a breach. You know what a breach is, right? You have a barricade, and now it's been breached, and now the enemy's in, okay? Well, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to use your own emotions and anxiety to render you useless. So right here, it undermines a sense of self-confidence. That's a key factor right here. You have to be confident that God's word is true. That God's word works for us. Can I get amen? That God has given us his promises, his truth, his love, his facts. Not through a humanistic point of view. And there's a lot of humanists and atheists now in our public school system. You know what? I'm praying that for those who have young ones, if they have the opportunity to homeschool them or to a private school, send them there. Because the things that they're teaching them now, we are not living in Leave It to Beaver days. I hope you know that. It's no longer Father Knows Best. It's not. It's about Harry and Scary. And they want to ram right down your throat. We need God though, right? And if we have God, Guess what he will tell us? He will tell us this: fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise God. That's what, see, when you start learning and being reminded what God will do for you, man, the joy will overwhelm you and say, oh God, you're with me. I'm not to have fear. I'm not going to be fearful for this situation. Some of you are walking around with maybe $5 left for the week. Don't be fearful.
That's right.
Don't be fearful. God will somehow bless that $5 that's left. And all of a sudden, man, where did these groceries come from? From God.
That's right.
I remember my former pastor at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, Pastor Leo. He had just came to San Diego from Los Angeles. And man, they were so, in layman's terms, they were so po', they couldn't pay attention. And they had no groceries. And they didn't ask the people that they were raising up during that time. That church blew up to 3,000. And they were, him and his wife, Sandra, they were praying and asking God, Lord, you know, they were just throwing up scripture. Lord, you would say, supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. They were just, man, reminding God. And, you know, just imagine God looks at our humor like. And then they drove away. They went to a park. They just wanted to spend time together. They came back, and there was like 7 bags of groceries on their, on their porch. And that was a sign to them that they were to continue in the ministry. Because let me just say this. If you have a made-up mind to serve him, he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Can I get amen?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. He will be the supplier.
Yes, he will.
That's right. Man, you know, man, praise God for man. He will bless you, you know. But I'd rather get blessed by God. God will use man to bless you. So when you go to God and then the blessings come, that's the way to do it. You can go to man and borrow and ask, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But did you check with God first? Look what it says right here in 1 John right here. First, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So when you have the love of God, the grace of God flowing in your being, then these things that will come your way in the midst of that storm will not overwhelm you. Fear has to do with what? Punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. But as a child of God, born again from above, God is doing that type of perfection in you. We're not perfect yet. We are what? Being perfected by him. Day by day. Thank you, God. He will see us through these rough times. Yes, he will. You have to believe him, right? Saints, if we don't know how to respond, we'll question whether we're truly listening to God and become uncertain regarding what's right and what's wrong. Our fifth principle is this. We are tormented by our emotions. Oh, my gosh. Tormented. Oh, that's right. You ever been on a teeter-totter when you were a kid? Up and down, up and down. Sometimes we're like that. Should I? Oh, no, I better not. Should I? Oh, no, I better not. As we vacillate emotionally, we'll become weaker instead of growing stronger in the storm. I want to grow stronger. As that storm becomes more darker, I want my inward parts to become more brighter.
Yes, that's right.
Can I get an amen? Yes. I want God to be magnified, yes, and illuminated in the midst of the storm. That's right. Because Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's what you need to do. You need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust in your word, that you will capture these emotional mindset that wherever it came from, the fear, the anxiety, the stress, and I'm going to use your word, and I'm going to use your word to pull down these negative thoughts and put them under Christ so that I can walk in victory. How many want to walk in victory? You use God's word. You bring those thoughts into captive. They're not to captivate you. They're to bring comfort. Can I get an amen? And so our emotions can play havoc. But let's read this one scripture again as Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all, what? Say that with me. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. And this is what we need in the midst of these storms, is our heart protected and guarded. Can I get amen? Listen, for our unbelieving friends and those who are kind of like, you know, saints that are just struggling in their walk, they need to look to us so that we can point them to the cross. If we're walking in the grace of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God, they need to see that. A lot of times they won't come to a Sunday morning. They won't come to a Wednesday night Bible study. So the only Bible, the only Jesus they're going to see is you. And one day the lights will turn on and God will draw them.
Amen.
He'll draw them to the cross. He won't draw them to a church. He'll draw them to the cross. Can I get amen? Look at this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Look at this. Whatever is honorable. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about what? These things. No, but we're here like, whoa, it's me. Whoa. No, think on these things. This will overwhelm the anxiety. It'll smother it out. Can I get amen? Listen, when you realize that we're here temporarily and that the hope of glory is before us and we're going to have a new body just like Jesus, a body that will not be diseased, a body that will never grow old, that we will be in the presence of God forever and forevermore, there won't be a clock on the wall that's like, when is the preacher going to be done? No, there will be none of that. We'll be in glory. How many can't wait for that? That's right. I hope you know we live in a temporal state of mind. We're here temporarily. By the way, our last Sunday night in our prayer service, Brother Angel, bless your heart. You prayed for my dog, Paco. We've had Paco for 12 years, my little chihuahua, and he was just laying on his side, and I was just praying, saying, Lord, thank you for this little friend. We had him for 12 years, and we were just praying for him and comforting. All he could do is comfort. We took him to the vet. They said, well, you know, this is their age. They normally give out around this time, and so we're praying for him. And then when I heard you pray, I said, bless your heart praying for my dog.
That's right.
4 days later, he got up.
He
got up, started wagging his tail, running around. I said, me and Sister Yolanda go, this is a miracle dog. Oh, thank you, God. He jumped up, man, and just, you know, he still got that funky breath, but he got up. Man, you know what? Scripture came to mind. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I said, Paco, you praising the Lord, man? You was on your deathbed, man. We thought you was out. We thought you were going to leave us. Man, I'm telling you. That. Then he started to eat again. So saints, in desperation, we may ask for other people's guidance. And there's no problem in that. However, our first response should be to seek understanding from God regarding what's happening in our lives. This is why our personal private time with the Lord is our first priority. Can I get amen?
Amen.
This is what God wrote, the disciples wrote in the four Gospels, in the book of Luke. But seek what? The kingdom of God. And all. And look at this. And all these things to you, to be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
That's right. Listen, I know some of us have desires to have to live on Sugar Hill. There's some people that they just work, and they want to live in Rancho Santa Fe. Now, I've seen those tours there. Some of them are $40 million homes. They have all the amenities. You know, they have the indoor-outdoor pool. They have the pool going into the home. They got the horse, what do you call it, stables and tennis courts, and they got movie theaters in their home, and they got all the amenities. I'm here to let you know what God has prepared for those that love him. Those things up there will pale in comparison to what God has prepared to those that love him. That's right. Yeah, I looked at all that, go, yeah, I know I'll never have one of these here on earth, but I believe God has something better for me up there. Can I get amen? That's our hope. That's right. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. Seek God, and he will be your provider. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's where we are more sensitive to his purposes and come away emotionally settled. We need to rely on him. Can I get amen? Look what King David wrote up here in Psalms. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with what? The whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. So you know what? When you're walking uprightly before him, you will live a blessed life. Even with the faults and failures, you will live a blessed life. Why? Because he loves you. He's the one that drew us to the cross. Did you know he chose us? We didn't choose him. We were just on this road of life, and he came and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. My goodness. Look what it says in verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, what? Diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your, what? Commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. God is saying, seek him, love him, worship him, praise him, serve him. And man, you will live the blessed life, a life like no other. How many can honestly say that your life is blessed?
Amen.
That's right. It's blessed by him. Because
yes,
he has done the work. We can't say, oh, look at me now. No, it's not about us. It's about him. Look at verse 9 up here. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against. That's the key, that I may not sin against you. All the Bible reading, all the Bible studies, all the worship services, Sunday mornings, Wednesdays, the women's ministry, the home fellowships, everything that God has placed before you, hide it all into your heart. Can I get amen? Tuck it away, because God's going to bring it up to your remembrance when you're tested. Yeah, oh yeah, old Slewfoot will come and test you. Matter of fact, you may even tempt yourself, and God will bring up this word. Can I get amen? It's to protect us, to watch over us. Look at this, saints. We may panic because of hurt and disappointment. How many of you have truly panicked at one time or another? How many have you been so disappointed, like, oh, I can't believe this? Or, why now, God? How could this be? We go through this mental, it's like an aerobic exercise, you know, up and down, up and down. Some of us can lose weight by doing that. You see, we could become enslaved by feelings of disappointment. Saints, if we are afraid to trust in the Lord, we may begin to look for an alternative solution instead of continuing in prayer and reading God's word. But nothing we face is too difficult for the Lord. Can I get amen? And sometimes he allows these situations in our lives to grow us up and increase our trust in him. We're trying to convey this message to trust the Lord. Trust in him. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. But he's also a reason for conflict in our relationship with those who don't believe in him. That's right. Look at this right up here. God-given resources for dealing with the storms of our life. He has given us so many resources. Guess what? We have no excuse. But you don't understand, preacher. No, I don't understand, but God does. I can't figure out your problem, but God has already figured it out. You just have to go to his word. I'll help you get there. But now when you get to the word, now you have to apply it. Now you have to ingest it. Let it marinate for a while. That's right. And watch God do the most miraculous thing in your life. So, what are the resources? Who can think of a resource that God has given the church, given to you as a believer? Prayer, okay. All right, let's start with this. He has given us power. Power. Every believer receives the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. He comes to seal us as children of God and empower us to live a godly life. God does it all by himself. So that's one of the resources that he gives us. Power. Look what it says right up here. He told his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with" what? Power from on high. You see, I've been to so many charismatic churches and what have you, and they'll grab you in the name. It doesn't take all that. It's believing his word. Can I get an amen? It's walking in the truth. Walking in his ways. That power is what sanctifies us. It's what sets us apart. And it's the power to live holy and righteous before God. Can I get an amen? That's the power for come on, go back to your BC years. You didn't have this kind of power. Man, we were running amok, weren't we? Come on, some of us he found from the gutter. That's right. Remember Brother Felipe, he came in and said he found him in a dipsy dumpster. I said, yeah, I was there somewhere in there too, underneath a tortilla by a rotten cantaloupe. That's where he found me. Come on, we were all headed during that course, huh? We were all headed the wrong way. But Jesus came.
Thank you, Lord.
And when he drew us to the cross and we surrendered by faith, to trust in the Lord, that's when the power came. Hallelujah. And that power is to live holy and righteous. We are clothed, not with our own righteousness, because our own righteousness is but filthy rags. We are clothed by the righteousness of Christ. So now when we stand before God, God the Father, he doesn't look down and see all of our mishaps. And guess what he sees? He sees the blood that has covered our sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. When you get a revelation that he has covered your sin, he has eradicated it. Yeah, we still have a sinful mind. We still do things that sometimes are wrong. But guess what? Eternally speaking, we are his forevermore. Thank you, God. He's doing a mighty work in our life. But we need the power. That's one of the resources that he has given us, saints. You see, when troubles and suffering come, we have his divine strength to help us face and endure them in a manner that glorifies him. He needs to be glorified. Can I get amen? We also have the power of God's word. Our first response to trials should be to open the Word of God, the Bible, and find out what God has said. What has God said to you lately? Some of you that are going through right now. Some of you are going through some horrendous trials right now. What has God said to you lately? Well, He's saying this right now to you through His Word. Not through the preacher, but through the written Word. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Jesus is with us. Can I get an amen? I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will withhold you with my righteous right hand. We're not to fear. We're to have hope in Christ. When we focus our attention on the Lord and His promises, it's like throwing wood on the fire of our spiritual lives, enabling us to face whatever challenges come our way. Thank you, God. Okay, so what's the next source of power or source that God has given us? We just went over power. What's the next one? This one is what the world needs. I'm serious. And it's not a humanistic type of love. It's the love that comes from God. It's love. Love. Storms may leave us feeling discouraged and unloved. But when we walk in the Spirit of God, we have His love in our hearts. If other people, fail us, we need to remember that God's love for us never ends. Can I get an amen? It's eternal. In addition, this love goes two ways. It enables us to love Him no matter what He allows in our lives to take place. And this is why we need to be comforted by God's Word. Because look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. He wrote this, "For I am persuaded that neither death," can I get a, say that with me, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, no things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Somebody needs to shout and say amen. Amen. Come on. Oh man, I heard you guys praise the Rams to win on Super Bowl more than you just shouted right now. Come on, somebody needs to give a shout saying praise the Lord. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. And as I opened up in this message, five people that I know that have gone on to glory, that still didn't separate His love. Can I get amen? This is what gives us hope. Can I get amen? And this is the hope that we need to proclaim to those around us that are going through. They need to have the same hope that we have. And so what's another attribute? What's another source from God? We looked at power. We looked at love. What's another one? This one right up here. And this is the one where every one of us needs to work on. And God is working that in us. We don't arrive the first day we said, "Oh, Jesus, come into my life." No, that's just the opening of the gate. He's let us in now. Now He's nurturing us every day. Can I get amen? But we need this in our life. We need discipline. That's a wonderful resource from God. It truly is. It's being self-controlled and having it results in a disciplined life that stands unmoved even in the face of difficulties, troubles, and conflict. It's a life committed to God. How many of you can honestly say that you are committed to God? Amen. I think I don't think we would be in church if we weren't committed to Him, right? There's better things to do on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Friday night home fellowship or Monday night for the women's and men's. By the way, men, We're getting together tomorrow night at my house, right? 6:30. I'm just reminding all the men to be there, all right? So the ones that are not here, please call them up and remind them. I promise to have something there for us, too. I know you guys like pizza, right? So, okay. Oh, and it won't be Costco. It won't be Costco pizza. It'll be probably Felipe's pizza. That's right. Because if I told you guys, bring some pizza, you guys will, okay, all right, where's the oven? Let us throw in this frozen one here. Sisters get down. They take time. They prepare. They'll cook their meal. We'll just throw something in the microwave. And so, saints, discipline is a life committed to God, which we will not waver in the storms or the winds of false doctrine. When we are grounded in Him, He makes us adequate to handle every situation. Can I get an amen? And our last verse of scripture for this morning is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so run from Him. Oh, wait, did I write that down wrong? Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Saints, all those storms have many origins. There's only one answer for all of them. When everything around us comes unglued and it falls apart, this is when you and I, we need to go to our knees in the Word of God. Can I get amen? Trusting Him to give us a sense of assurance and boldness to stand firm in obedience unto Him. Because a disciplined life that is settled in God's Word, it opens to His work within us and made adequate in the Holy Spirit's love and power becomes an immovable source in our life in the midst of storms. Can I get an amen? And so I ask these final questions and then we will pray. Number one, where do you go for help when storms come into your life? Do you go to your best friend, mom and dad, nana, papa? For some of you that have adult children, do you go to them? Who do you go to in the midst of storms? I'm praying that this message will just keep pointing us to Him, to the Lord Jesus. That our source, our strength, is Him. That we would go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this situation, God. So where do you go for help when storms come in your life? Number two, are prayer and the Word of God your first response, or do you turn to other sources for help? Let this be a reminder this morning that we turn to the Word. We turn to the Lord. We trust Him, the Lord, with all our heart, soul, and mind. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He will, what? Direct your path. Number three, what role does fear or timidity play in your response to trouble? Are you the person that at the end of the day, there's no more nails left? Or do you have callous knees from being down there and crying out to God? Because God will answer. Do you know that God answers our prayer? But it's in His timing. He will answer. And when He answers, it is good. God doesn't give us anything that's bad or evil. Can I get amen? And lastly, number four, What has been the outcome when you have responded in fear? How do you react? When I was a kid, when I was a child, I used to walk in fear because my oldest sister, I had 11 brothers and sisters. My oldest sister used to always tell us little ones about the Llorona. So, man, I'd make sure the hall light was on, the bathroom light was on, my bedroom light. I didn't want to sleep in no darkness. And one day, I was in my room, and she knew it. And she went around the house and started throwing pebbles at the rock, at the window. And I go, it's the Llorona. Praise God for salvation. Now I can go to every room in my home and not fear. Can I get amen? Amen. But some of us, that thing would cling on to us even in adulthood. Did you know that? And when you realize that it was a spirit of fear, God's word, bam, will melt it away from your life and give you hope, love. He'll give you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, which the Bible says there is, it's endless. There's no law. In other words, you can use as much as you want. The resources never end. And so if you're here right now and you're going through something horrendous in your life, we're going to pray for you right now. But I'm also praying for those who are listening to this message on the internet, and maybe you're here, that you would just give your heart to the Lord Jesus, and we will pray with you by faith. And so let's all pray right now for that one soul, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, we don't know. Wherever this message is being taken right now, that Lord would place it on the hearts of those that need to hear him right now. And so pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Come on, is God worthy? Man, he is so worthy. And just know that he has destroyed the works of the devil in our life. Can I get amen?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.